Welcome to the teaching ministry of Magnolias First. For more information, visit www.magnoliasfirst.org.
Well, I want to start off by welcoming our new sixth graders to both this service and the next service. With today's promotion Sunday, and so we're glad to have them a part of this. And I hate to tell you, sixth graders, and nobody will understand this but them, but there is no impossible shot in this room. And so don't try and take the impossible shot. It would be bad. But they'll get that, not you. Don't worry. But hey, we're starting a new series entitled White Flag. And it has to do with the power of surrendering. And I have learned more this week than I think I ever have in my life what it means when you just absolutely surrender to God. And many of us have been put in a posture of surrendering when we watch the news this past week, we look on the TV, and many of us, we see this storm, and everything that was on our to-do list just kind of fades away, and you just look, and you sit down, and you surrender, and you wait. And you wonder if the water's going to come in. You wonder if the wind is going to knock your trees down. You're just not sure what is going to happen. But there is a force coming that just causes you to sit back and surrender. We're going to talk about a different type of surrender, but it has that same connotation. Rather than surrendering to a power that just is about to dominate you, the type of surrender we're talking about is surrendering to a power who wants to strengthen you. And it's a huge difference. When we step back and we surrender to the power of our Lord, oh man, great things will happen in the church, in your family, in your friendships, all your relationships, your job. It is amazing what happens. And I want to quantify that I'm not talking about that idea that, hey, if you give a dollar to the church, you're going to get $20 in return. I'm not talking about that type of joy and that type of instant gratification that comes from surrendering. The type of surrender that I'm talking about is that you surrender yourself over to the Lord. You give your wants, your desires, and you surrender all that to Him, and then something amazing happens, is that the Lord comes back, and now that you've emptied yourself of your wants, your desires, God comes in, and He fills you up. And He places God-sized and God-like wants, God-sized and God-like desires in your life. And then all of a sudden, you have one of the most powerful things ever. It's joy and contentment. In fact, when you look in a room, oftentimes when we think about joy and contentment, we think about the almighty financial dollar. But there's a reality. The person in here that is the most content with who they are and what they have is the richest person in the room, regardless of your financial state. When you surrender to the Lord and you give Him those wants, those desires, and you allow Him to replace them, you become the most joy-filled and content person ever. We're going to talk about surrendering. And here's what I believe. A time of crisis creates surrender. It's pretty much forced upon you. And I've believed all my life that if you want to find out about somebody, you squeeze them, and whatever comes out is who they are. You see, strengths and weaknesses are defined and made visible in a time of crisis. If I had a banana right now and I squeezed it, guess what would come out? Banana guts. If I bring up someone who claims to be a Christ follower and we squeeze them If the love of Christ does not come out, then all we are is a Christ follower by label. You see, it's in the heart that determines if you're a true follower of Christ or not. And I'm going to ask you to examine that inner being this morning to decide who you are. We're going to talk about pride. And to start off talking about pride, I want to be prideful. Can you do that? You see, there's two types of pride. There's a pride of dignity and self-respect, and then there's a pride of haughtiness. And so if you look at that pride of dignity and self-respect, I want to tell you this morning that I am proud of Magnolia First. I am overjoyed, overwhelmed by what has been going on the past about 8 or 9 days at this church. I want to celebrate it a little bit. As a staff, we always talk about we are bad about celebrating what has happened in the church family. Well, this week, we got to celebrate. We've got over, last I checked, and I checked about 10 minutes ago, it was about 315 people signed up to just say yes to any need that comes their way. Many of you are already on this list, and if you're not, I'm going to help you get on it in a few moments. But by having this list, we had about 240 over the past week, and we would send out a need, and the need would just be met. There's times when we sit around our office, and a need comes in the door, and it's like, well, we don't know what to do. And so we created this alert system just by chance, and what has happened is we found that the body of Christ right here at First Baptist Magnolia, Magnolia's First, right here, we're ready to go. I've been amazed at what I've seen. From the very get-go, people on our student staff team, they said, we'll open up the church as a shelter. We'll be ready. And they manned the church night and day for about 4 to 5 days. We didn't have a whole lot of people come, but when they came, we were ready. We discovered in Magnolia, it's neighbors helping neighbors because we live in a great community, do we not? But I mean, it's just amazing what has happened in and around us. We put out a word that we needed to cook some meals from some first responders. Immediately, people showed up, filled up meals, filled up a truck, they were gone. We've provided resources for people that are in need that we thought we could never come up with. Someone said, we need boats. And I'm like, well, good luck with that. And so let's text it out. Let's see what happens. I think we had like 5 boats show up. Some of the boats showed up, didn't have anything to do because it was already taken care of. Rescued people, hot water out there by 2978 and all that. We've restored water to a home. We have gone into homes and done not only hot water rescues, but 13 homes so far. And actually, my info is probably bad. I bet it's more than that. But I know for sure it's 13 homes that we've gone in and we've removed sheetrock. We've removed flooring. We've shoveled out everything, all the stuff, taken the furniture out, tried to dry it out. We've removed kitchen cabinets. One home was 2-story, got the ceiling out. And we've got teams of people going out. And your church, our church, is absolutely amazing. We've had people on chainsaw crews. We've had people coming up here to do donations and just help watch it. You have no idea how many donations we have received and then sent out. And then SOS is helping us. They're kind of the face and the name on the community. And so we've resourced them. We've got everything going. Today, we've put... I don't know how much, someone sent me a picture earlier, but we've got people out there that are picking up the water that hopefully you got the message to bring water. And I mean, we've got a car hauler that was donated a couple, I don't know, years ago. And we put that on church van, also donated. And the tires on that, do you know how much water weighs? It's like the tires on that van, if you have some extra van tires, I think we're going to need those in a couple of days. But here's what's cool. Just Friday, this church raised the money to purchase land for cash across the street. Now, here's what's interesting. we're thinking we'll use that in the future. We know we can put a venue out there. We know we can put parking out there. We can pull some of our retention and detention water over there. But we got it late Friday afternoon. On Saturday, we're already filling up the shop, 2,000 square foot shop out there with water and diapers and all that. We had one church member bring like two big truckloads of diapers and I don't know what all was in there, but there were diapers. I know that much. I saw a lot of diapers. And then now we've got a team from Alabama that called the church and said, man, we just want to come serve your area. And guess what? We said, yeah, come on. And so we got the power on the house, pulled the refrigerator over, and so that house didn't have one night of it sitting empty, and now it's got people in it that are serving our community, and we're just going to keep on doing that. It is amazing what God is doing through you, the people of Magnolia First. And here's the part I love the most. I don't have a clue all the other things you're doing. When I hear and I see things come across the Sunday school list, I love this church because you are being the church. And so I just want to thank you for being the church, being the hands and feet of Christ, serving the Lord. When a crisis came, here's what we figured out. The people of Magnolia, the people of Magnolia's First, they love Jesus. And thank you for doing it. Thank you for serving the community. If you have not had the opportunity to be a part of it, I'm going to give you the way to do it. We just kind of stumbled across this, and what we have is we've got it's called Remind 101. It is a group, and like I said, right now we've got about 315 people on it, and what we do is we send out a need. And so a need that will probably go out later today is that we were short a few air mattresses over there. Just a small little need, but we'll put it out there. We'll get some air mattresses, we'll go. Yesterday, we had those two trucks show up that they're going to unload all those diapers and baby goods and all that formula. And so we put the call out. We had to shut the call out down in about 10 minutes, and we had 20 or more people over there unloading those trailers. They're simple things to do. Those who are 12 years old to 112 years old, you can respond and do. And all you do is when you get that alert, you respond back, and it comes to one of our staff who is ever monitoring at that point. And yes, I know some of you think I have just been messaging you like crazy. Well, I hate to say it, it's just got my name attached to it because I set it up, but Seth has been running it, multiple people have been running it, but what happens is you respond back to that message, and then we'll give you the instructions of where to go, and then we shut it down when it's full. Here's how you do it. In fact, if you would, take out your mobile phone if you want to be a part of this. If you don't, just fake it because everybody's looking at you. Just got to be honest, you know? And then we'll deal with your pride of faking it in the next 10 minutes as we talk about pride. So take out your phone. If you have an Android, that's okay. If you have a flip phone, I'm sorry. But go to wherever you would to send out a text message. And then in the to portion, like where you type in the phone number, you want to type in these numbers, 81010. 81010. That's the phone number. And then in the message part, you want to put the @ M1BC yes. Put that in there, @M1BC yes. Don't put it in quotes. Hit send, and it goes. And this phone is buzzing off the wall. We've just had about 12 people already join. And so put that in there, and then that is what we're going to use as a church to be the hands and feet of Christ when we absolutely need it. No, we're not going to send it out there if we're short a nursery worker or a student worker or something like that. We're going to protect it. You're not going to get blown up with text. It'll be busy for the next weeks to come. But then as you're on that list, and we're going to indoctrinate everybody that would join the church, be part of the church, we're going to encourage them to be a part of this. And so when a need arises in the church that we need to fill, we're going to put the call out on this system, and then you will get the alert. And it'll be a fantastic thing. It is like instant communication where we can be Christ to the church. And the flip side is when you call this church and you have a need or know of a need, we're going to do our best to get it taken care of and just be the church. And it's going to be fantastic. If you don't have a phone that you get text on or anything like that, go to our website, www.magnoliasfirst.org, and you can sign up there, and you can also get these alerts to your email address. Or if you just can't figure this out, there is step-by-step instructions. You'll follow a link, and it will sign you up automatically. Now, a quick note as well, there's another alert system that we will have that we learned we needed, is that we are sometimes need to get the word out to members in an emergency. And so with the very same instructions, it'll go up on the screen to the same number, text the words at, the at symbol, M1BC. And we will use that at any time there is an emergency in our communication, in our community, and we would need to communicate to the church. That is how we got the word out to people last week that we weren't having church. So I would encourage you to be a part of that. We will protect that one, and that one will receive very few text messages, like hopefully just one or two a year. And so, but you want to be on that list. What that does, and here's what I want you to grab more than anything else. If you'll get a part and be on that M1BC Yes group, it puts you, as a Christ follower, in a position just to say yes. You don't have to feel guilty, you don't have to, you know, you don't have to respond to everyone, but you might be in a position to where you see that and the Lord would whisper in your ear and you can say yes. And guess what that is? It's a part of surrendering to the Lord. All right, I hear a lot of phones going on and a lot of, I think someone's got to get a control of Siri or Alexa. I don't know what happened there, but that's okay. But so you want to be in that position to say yes. In times of war, the word surrender is a little bit different. In times of war, surrender implies that you're basically giving up all your rights to someone who is about to dominate you. And that would be like the hurricane that we see in the Gulf coming our way. When we talk about spiritual surrender, it's so much different. You see, spiritual surrender, here's what you're doing. You're setting aside your own plans, and then you eagerly seek the Lord's plans. And so when you spiritually surrender, you're surrendering to an almighty God who has your best interest in mind, and you're surrendering to where you would say to him, I set aside my own plans, my own wants, my own desires, and I'm going to eagerly seek out yours, God. And then you let him put that into your heart. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. That is an emptying of your own desires, delighting in him, and letting him put desires in you. Here's the good news about God. God's plans always have your best interest at heart. I'm not saying bad things won't happen to you. I'm not saying that you might even be a martyr for Christ at some point. But when you submit to God, he's got your best interest at heart. Remember what Jeremiah said to the people, Jeremiah the prophet, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. And then we see in Proverbs 14:12, you know what our plans are like? I like how the NLT puts it. There is a path before each person that seems right, but in the end leads to death. You see, when we empty ourselves, give our plans, our wants, our desires to God, even though it may seem right, our particular plans, the reality is that he's got something greater. He's got something better for you. And in the end, his lead to life. And so we surrender to him, and we let him fill us back up. We're talking specifically today about pride. Pastor Ed's going to come next week, and he's going to talk about surrendering our identity. But we wanted to start with this idea of pride, because I believe that pride is at the very root of surrendering to God. In fact, I want to look at pride in a little bit different manner today. Pride is an interesting word. In Scripture, there's 10 Hebrew words for pride. There's two Greek words, Greek being the New Testament, Hebrew being the Old Testament. And every word has to do with being, a lot of them say puffed up, you know, where you're kind of all high and mighty, and or the other one is high and lofty, and it's that spirit of almost being better than you and or me, and then also just this whole idea of haughtiness. And so it's wrapped up in all of those words as we define it in Scripture. But when Jesus came on the scene, he first attacked a very root of pride that we need to make sure that we also have in check. Our big idea today is that pride comes before a fall. Pride comes before a fall. Pride is like an indicator. It's a warning. Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goes before destruction and haughtiness before a fall." Pride is an indicator that you are headed for destruction. So if you can identify pride in your life, you might be very well fending off a future destruction, a future fall that is about to happen in your life. Friday night, I was driving down 1488 and I was passing by Lake Windcrest, and I smelled honestly a horrible smell. And I said, wow, those people in Lake Windcrest are burning a lot of tires. Why are they doing that? I had my windows down, had my sunglasses on, my radio was on. I was having a great time. And that smell just overwhelmed me. And so I thought, well, I'll look at my gauges. All my gauges actually looked pretty good. And so I kept going. Next thing I know, all my gauges went to zero. My vehicle shut off. I've got the steering wheel in my hands. And you ever have that feeling when your steering wheel just gets a little bit tighter because that power steering's gone? That's what happened. Then I just kind of coasted over. And then you see, you look out the front, it's that steam just coming out. And you're thinking, I wonder if this baby's going to start back up, because I'm not sure it is. Well, good for me, old Tyler Norbeck, one of our staff on our maintenance crew, he was driving by and he rescued me. So he is a good man. But here's what I did. I ignored every warning possible. Let me give you a hint. If you smell rubber burning, why not pull over and just see what's going on? I mean, what is my problem? Pride is that same indicator in your own life, in my life. If pride is there, it is a dash light that is blinking, or in my opinion, should be blinking. It is a smell that is happening. It is something that is alerting one of your senses to say a fall is coming. And now I want you to look, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 14, and I want you to hear how Jesus handled pride. It's very interesting how he handled it. And just to say real quickly, speaking on pride is actually a difficult topic. Because here's what's happening in here. Those of you that are filled with humility, you feel like you're being beat up right now. Those of you that are filled with pride, guess what? You're thinking, yeah, Milk, preach it to them. Here's what I want you to do, okay? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to be open to the remote possibility that you might have pride in your life. I didn't just say be open to the remote possibility that the person sitting next to you has pride, okay? I said be open to the remote possibility that maybe you have some pride in your life. And we're not going to deal with the absolute obvious of haughtiness, but we're going to deal with where Jesus started when he went after the Pharisees and dealt with the pride in their life, because he started somewhere where we usually skip over. And let me remind you something about pride. There is a passage in Scripture, and it is in Proverbs chapter 6, where Solomon, he tells us, he says, there are six things the Lord hates. And you remember this passage? He goes, there are six things the Lord hates. And he goes, nope, seven. And that's how he words it. He goes, there are six things the Lord hates. No, seven things he detests. Guess what his number one thing is? Haughty eyes. the Lord hates pride. He goes on and says, a lying tongue, hands that kill, a heart that plots evil, feet that race to do wrong, a false witness, a person who sows discord in a family. If I were to open the altar right now for a good old-fashioned confession time, or let's just say I came to confess before you. If I came before you and said, hey, I just want you to know I've got a real problem with a lying tongue, y'all would look at me and go, well, you're a pastor. You're supposed to lie. If I came to you and said, you know what, I cause a lot of discord in my family. I'm a horrible dad. I'm a bad example. If I said, I really like to kill people, you know, I've just, these hands, they're just prone to kill. Sorry. But it would be much different. Or if I talked about temptations and things like that, you would scowl. But if I stood before you right now and said, hey, I've got a pride issue, you know what we all do? We all go, yeah, good for you for putting that out there. I need to get some of that out of my life too. There's not a sense of detest in our culture when it comes to pride. The Lord says he detests pride. Jeremiah, he tells the people, he says, oh, people of Judah and Jerusalem, surrender your pride and power. Change your hearts before the Lord, or my anger will burn like an unquenchable fire because of all your sins. Proverbs 16:5, the Lord detests the proud. They will surely be punished. And so when Jesus comes on the scene and he's going to talk to these Pharisees, and if you remember the Pharisees, they are religious rulers of sorts, and what they have primarily been known for is that they are coming up with a list of things that are wrong and a list of things that are right. They are the original Baptist, right? There will be no drinking, there will be no smoking, be no dancing, be no square dancing, be no fiddle playing at the square dance. We're not going to do any of that. Those of you who don't know, that's actually in our minutes way back in the day that we excommunicated somebody. That's another story. But I love our church. But the Pharisees added to Scripture, and they just kept on making it harder and harder and harder and harder. If you go to Israel today, there's a thing called a Shabbat elevator. And the deal is, on the Sabbath day, a true Jew is not allowed to this day operate electronic switches, right? Or buttons. And so to make it to where they are not working on the Sabbath day, they have a Shabbat elevator. If you get on that Shabbat elevator by mistake in the Middle East, maybe Nick and Bethany can tell us a little bit more about this, but if you get on that by mistake, you're going to be in for a long ride, especially if you're going up high. They do have the 13th floor there. But so you get on, and basically the elevator stops at every floor. Get on. Here's the reason. To be a good Jew, you can't touch that button on Sunday, Saturday for them. But so it's this adding to the law of most ridiculous, and Jesus attacks this. Here's what happens. This is a great story, okay? Hang with me. I don't have much time. One Sabbath day, it is the Sabbath, it's a day where they can't work, Jesus went to eat dinner in the home of the leader of the Pharisees, and the people were watching him closely. Now, here's what I love. They're watching him closely because this is a setup, okay? This is a dinner. If you read on, you can see the context. If you read the context, this is a dinner of religious leaders, probably the rich people. They're all there. They're all gathered, and they invite Jesus, and they're watching him closely, and here's why. Because they have a plant in the crowd, not like vines. They have a plant, like a person that's a plant. Here's what they do. They say, there's a man there whose arms and legs are swollen. And so picture this dinner party of all these able-bodied, righteous people. And then in the corner, there's a guy sitting there, arms and legs swollen. Everybody's looking at Jesus because what is Jesus prone to do? He's going to heal that man. And guess what? He's going to heal him on the Sabbath, and we're going to catch him in a trap, and we're going to take him down. And so Jesus says this. He says, is it permitted in the law to heal people on the Sabbath or not? Everybody was quiet. Verse 4, when they refused to answer, Jesus walked over to the sick man. He touched him, He healed him and sent him on his way. Sent him on his way because he wasn't invited to the party anyway except to sit there and look like that. He turns to the religious leaders and the people in there, and he says to them, he says, which one of you doesn't work on the Sabbath? If your son or cow falls into a pit, don't you rush in to get him out? And again, they couldn't answer. Now, you might be asking, what does this have to do with pride? Read on, if you will, but the root of pride is not having complete trust and faith in God and His Word. What Jesus is clearly telling them is that you have added to the Scripture. I think He probably pulled some aside and said, go search the Scripture, and you tell me where it says I can't heal that man. And then on top of that, why are you being so hypocritical? If your son falls in a ditch, if your ox falls in a ditch, surely you're going to go help him. You already have. And so he attacks them at their arrogance, not just the arrogance of haughtiness and all that, but he attacks them at their arrogance and haughtiness that they are so pride that they add to or take away from God's Word. And so here's my question for you today. Do you have complete trust that what God says is good? Do you have so much faith in your Lord that when you read Scripture, you default to, you know what? That's for me and my family. You know what? The Bible says not to mess around with divorce. I'm not even going to entertain it then. The Bible tells me to do this in Ephesians 6 for the man, the husband, the woman, the children. And you look at that and you say, I'm going to do this. Some of us, all of us, we've missed His perfect. But starting today, I'm going to look at His Word, and you know what? I'm going to trust it. And that's what Jesus is getting them at. You see, you can't fix everything else in your life until you surrender to God and you believe in Him, you trust Him. In a moment, we're going to end the service. And if you've never truly submitted or surrendered to the Lord, I would invite you to come by our hospitality room. If you're in this auditorium in the main room, it's on the bottom floor, left-hand side. Would you come ask someone what it means to be a Christ follower? If you're in our Resonate service, we'll have people out in the coffee shop. Would you go out there and just look for one of our pastors or one of our leaders, someone you've seen out there, and just ask them, what does it mean to be a Christ follower? And we want to help you know what it means to commit, because you can spend all day, all night long trying to fix haughtiness and pride in your life. But if you don't fix the root, in that you have not truly surrendered to the one who will empower you to do great things, then you'll never take that other stuff out of your life. Because God wants to get you at the core, and so that's what Jesus does. If you read on, Jesus goes on and He talks to them now about personal pride. He hits them at this issue of spiritual pride, and now He goes on to personal pride, and He closes it in verse 11. He says, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, but those who humble themselves will be exalted. I want to encourage you to read the Word, get to know it, follow it, and then, like what we're talking about this week, just say yes to God. You start with God, and you don't start with pride. You say, you know what, God, I'm going to listen to you, and I'm going to follow you, and I'm going to say yes. And if the only thing you ask me to do this week is to bring up an air mattress, then that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to say yes. And then what I promise you you're going to find is that the second you say yes to God in some of the smaller things, then your response to God is going to go way beyond our M1BC yes group. Because He's going to start calling you out to your neighbors, and He's going to give you a confidence, He's going to give you a boldness, and you will start serving Him more and more and more, and you are going to be used by Him. And here's what's going to happen. He is going to get all the credit. He is going to get all the glory. And guess what? You're going to love that. I hope you have a Magnolia's First bumper sticker on your car. I hope it's on your glass so that when you go and help your neighbors, I hope they see that. And I don't care if they come to this church. I want them to go to a church. But I hope you have something on there to where they might ask the question and say, hey, do you go to church? Go, yeah, that's why I'm here. I felt like it was the right thing to do, and I just wanted to help someone and just wanted to share the love of Christ. You see, something as simple as a bumper sticker can open up a conversation that you've never had before. And then if you're out in Pearland, Humble, or places like we've been, then you hook them up with a church by them. You get them a part of the family. Here's the next steps for today. Real quick, ask God to search your heart. Ask God to search your heart. Psalm 139 says this, "Search me, O God, know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life." Ask the Lord to search your heart. We had the same scripture a few weeks ago. Ask him to search your heart and show you anything. And then step number two, next step, say yes to God's response. Would you stand with me? And I want to pray for you, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, we love you. Father, I pray as a church that you would search our heart, know us, and point out anything in our life, in our church, in our entire congregation that, Lord, would be offensive to you. And then, Father, may we say yes to removing it. Father, as individuals, myself included, Lord, search me, know me. And Father, if there's anything in me that just does not please you, Father, would you reveal that to me? And Father, for those others that are praying this prayer right now, would you reveal it to them? And then Father, beyond that, would you give me the boldness and the courage to say yes? And Father, our goal is that we want to surrender to you. And Father, we love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, folks. You're dismissed.